Hello, my name is Alex, and I am your host for Taking the Punches, a podcast that is all about life, lessons, advice, mental health, grief, inspiration, and more. I want this place to feel like a hangout with your friend. We're grabbing drinks, we're getting coffee, we're going for a walk, a drive, just an open place that feels positive, warm, and inviting. So grab your drink, start your walk, or be like me, lying in bed with my emotional support hot water bottle, and join the chat, join the sesh. So let's begin. Hello, what is up, everyone? It is Alex, your host for Taking the Punches. We are now on to episode 2. Woo-woo! Thank you all so much for the support. I know it was such a short episode for the first one, but thank you all so much for the support and kindness and just like love for it. So thank you all so much. It's great to hear, and it's great to hear just people actually want to listen and hear me talk, which is amazing but unheard of for me. Usually I'm told to shut up. But we're on to episode two, and this one's all about just London. If you know me, even I mentioned in the first episode, so if you haven't, go back, listen to that, come back, then you'll know that it's my entire personality, that I'm an American that lives in London, duh. But I really want to get into the why London, what got me here, what is it really like to be here, and I'm going to rant about just the people on TikTok that move here and make it look like life is perfect and so easy and just so like fairy tale-esque, and that's a big fat, that's a lie, that's such a lie. But I would also like to get into the process of getting here and staying here, because it's not easy. My future is completely up in the air and so scary that technically I don't even know if I have a future in London after 2025 because of the way the system is made up. So let's dive into the why London. Why London? That's such a good question. I get that all the time and I never know how to answer it, because it's like, I don't know. I, as a little kid, again, first episode, go back and listen and come back, then you'll know. But grew up that medium-sized town, South Side, Chicago, and it's very much like you're born, it's either you have your grandparents were born and raised, or moved there and then raised, and then they had kids and they're born and raised, then you're born and raised there, and then you go to a college or a university that's nearby, and then you come back, you live with them for a while, then you get a job and a life in the city, and then you go back to the suburbs, or else you go to Wisconsin or somewhere close by. And I was just like, that just does not seem like a life for me. I don't want that. I did have really weird phases where I was like, I want to be a Southern Belle. I want to go down south to Tennessee and start a record label. And because I also wanted to be a singer. And I want to start a record label, and I want to have a boutique, and I also want that boutique to be a cafe, and la 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 la. And I want my husband to be a football frat star that now works in insurance and finance. And then I also went through the whole, like, no, I want to be a rock and roller. I want to live in the city. I want to, like, my kids are going to be raised at the gigs and the pubs. And now I got to find little balance of it both. And I kind of found that in London, what I dream and would like my future to be. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Why London? Again, good question. Don't know. I just, like, always, as a young age, had this, like, really knack and enamor for it. And I didn't know anything about it except for I really liked the history that was here. I liked the art that's here and the culture. And I liked the music and I liked the movies. And I'm not even gonna lie, the accent was not actually a thing for me. A lot of people are like, oh, the accent's so sexy. I cannot understand what people are saying half the time. I'm sorry. I know that might get me canceled, but I can't understand people half the time. But I play along. I eventually learn. I get it a little bit. Or they're also, I'm constantly like, huh? Oh, huh? I'm sorry. I don't actually know what you're saying. What? So the accent was off the table for me. It was more about just like the UK in general. And I like, and I'm not a big sun person. I don't like the heat. So this was just, seemed great. Even though I'm regretting that now in this winter. It's been so cold. And there's not like proper heating isn't a big thing in these flats. But I love the idea of just the UK, and I love London specifically. It just seemed like this dream that could never happen, and I thought I was gonna have to live at home, help take care of my dad with his Parkinson's, help support my mom. But I had these giant dreams that were just more for that, and I didn't know how to get started or where to be, but it always seemed to lead towards London. For a while there, I was like, I guess LA, maybe LA. And then I went to visit, and I was like, I hate LA. I never want to go there again. I never want to live there. And then I still think about New York sometimes. But that's just because, again, like I mentioned, my future is so up in the air in London because of the way it's set up. But I did go through a big New York phase, but then it just still seemed like it was too close. It still seemed like it was too, just not enough for me. And then I found the movie Winning London by Mary-Kate and Ashley, and that changed my world. I was like, no, London's it. I'm never gonna tell anyone this dream because I'm just gonna be told it's dumb, but I know deep in my soul that I need to be in London. And there's this one scene where they're standing, and this is key part to my little story. But there's a scene where they're like, I don't know which twin it is, but it's either Mary-Kate or it's Ashley, and they're trying to like talk to this guy they have a crush on, and they're at a statue in Hyde Park, the Peter Pan statue in Hyde Park. And I don't know why that Peter Pan statue just like always spoke to me. And I was like, that's so cool. Like, I want to have a moment by the Peter Pan statue. Like, I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And yeah, I just like, I was in love with this movie because of what it showed me, what London's kind of like. And I was like, there's no way for me to get there, but I just have to. And that dream kind of died down. And then when I went to Columbia College Chicago for a year to study film, and then trigger warning, I don't like to talk about it much, especially out in the open. It's more so for closed people, but I was sexually harassed to the point that I left that school because it was so bad, and I didn't know what to do, didn't know where to turn. Didn't know what life was. I felt so just violated and disgusted with myself and gone through all the motions. But again, that's for another episode. So I go to Milwaukee. So I decided on University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Had some friends there. Had a friend in Marquette. Close enough. Seemed great. Had a great film program. Yada yada yada. And again, trigger warning. There was an assault that happened that was way worse than the first one. And again, I'm not going to get into it because again, that's not this type of podcast. But it is still part of the story and the narrative. And that assault really just like made my life crumble. I was at what I thought would be my mental lowest. At that point in time, it was my mental lowest. Come to London then. But I was just like, everything in life made me feel so uncomfortable. I tried looking into study abroad programs for London or transfer again. It's crazy because I still have the notes and that little like folder that I created for my parents of financially broke down, how much I can save, I can get a scholarship, I can do this and this and this. These are the schools that I've looked into, this is the program. And my parents were always supportive, but it just wasn't financially there or with my dad's Parkinson's like ability, really. And my sister got to study abroad because she went to straight to like four program university, stayed there, all that. And I remember just being so jealous of her. Like, that should be me. That shouldn't, like, she's not appreciating me as much as I would, I swear. No, but she had a great time and she did appreciate it. And I think it's awesome that she did that. And we can kind of have a shared experience. But I just remember being so jealous. And I was like, that should be me there. And, but yeah, it was just like, I tried to get to London. I really wanted to study fashion here for a while. And I did all my little study and research into everything, and again, it just fell flat. It just wasn't possible. It was made to be, this is impossible. We want to support you, we want to get you there, but it's just not possible. And then cut to the mental breakdown in Milwaukee, where it just got so bad that I felt like my entire life was just shoving me out there, and I had no choice whatsoever. but to leave. And so, like, a dog with my tail between my legs, I moved back home, went back home to Chicago, lived with my parents, and then I found a au pair program that could easily get me there. It'd be 3 months. I get to kind of test the waters, what it's like in Europe, make a little bit of money au pairing, travel the world, get to see everything that I want to see. I was bit by the travel bug. Couldn't really travel much, like, don't go on planes much because, again, my dad's Parkinson's, so everything was a drive, or it had to be driving distance, or just couldn't even, it had to be something so important if it was long distance. But I just love the idea of traveling in different cultures and different experiences and languages and people and how others live, and just very fascinated by all of that. And yeah, I reached out to the program, got a quick response. I think I moved home in like December, and by, I think it was March, I was being shipped out to Rome, Italy. Don't know Italian. Didn't I never Italy was never on my radar. I wanted to be an au pair in Paris, and I interviewed with a couple parents and it just didn't work out, and interviewed this one and it worked, and yeah, I was in, I think from the first interview, 2 weeks later, this was like my first time getting a passport, everything. 2 weeks later, I was, after she said, yeah, we'd like you to come live with us, I was off. I was just off. And the au pair, well, that'll be another episode because that's a whole thing. But my first week, I landed on a Thursday night, had Friday to myself. That's a whole shebang. And then the Friday night, the parents are asking me, where are you going this weekend? And I was like, what do you mean? I'm here. I'm still jet lagged. I don't even know where I'm at. And they're like, oh, the au pair before you went away every single weekend, and we're gonna be gone this weekend, so where are you going? And I was like, this, I guess, is my chance, now or never. And I was like, I guess I'll book a flight to London. So I booked a flight to London. I didn't, I just, again, I did not know, I had no research, I didn't know what I was doing. I just booked it. Booked an Airbnb, because hotels were expensive. I found an Airbnb in like a shared flat with like two boys, like two guys, which made me uncomfortable, but I was like, no, I'm a traveler of the world, I can do it. I never really knew much about hostels, and I had a hard time kind of like trusting them too. And I like my own like space, like that's just something that it's personal to me. So I was like, I guess no hostels, but yeah, it was a cheap Airbnb, and I did not realize the distance between Heathrow to London, rule number one. And I did not know how the transit system worked. Transportation, none of it. Rule number two, do your research. See the distance, all of that. I literally just went in blindly. I was just like, I'll figure it out as long as I go. And so I ended up taking a bus, and the Airbnb driver is texting me, or driver, the Airbnb owner is like texting me as we're going. And he started getting really like threatening to me. He's like, where are you? I need to know now. Like, where are you? All this. And at the time, it was a place in Chelsea, which at the time I knew nothing about it. I've heard of like Chelsea being a posh place, but I didn't know anything. I was just like, oh, it's where the rich live. So I just thought this would be like a nice place. And I guess I got like near the edge of Chelsea, because again, he's sending me threats. He's like, where are you? I need to know. Where do you come, like, when are you be there? I was like, I'm so sorry, I didn't know the distance between like Heathrow would be this much. And then it just got really uncomfortable. I was like, I don't feel safe actually in this moment right now. I don't know what to do, but I was like, you know what, whatever. I pull through, I get to the place. I'm terrified. It was not the Chelsea I was expecting, and it was not the parent trap house that I was thinking of. And he's not answering. Won't even acknowledge my text, won't answer, nothing. And I was just like freaking out. My phone was on like 2%. I'm exhausted. I'm jet lagged. I got another now time difference to be in without even adjusting to the first one. And again, I have no money. Don't My phone's dying. Had no clue where I'm at. Nothing. So I see a taxi, get in, and I was like, I'm so, and I'm crying and sobbing on the streets at this point. I was like, I'm so sorry. Can you please, like, can you just take me to like a hotel that you know of? Like a really good hotel that's in the center of something where I feel safe. And I kind of explained to him my situation, and he was the sweetest driver in the world. He was like, I have a daughter that's about your age. Like, you're very brave for what you're doing. Like, don't worry. And he's like giving me facts about London. He's taking my mind off things and distracting me. It was just the kindest soul in the world. And he took me to the Travelodge in Covent Garden. And the Travelodge in Covent Garden will forever have a special place in my heart. I get up to the desk and I was like, I'm shaking. My phone's dead at this point. They let me charge it. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, do you have any rooms? And they're like, we're so sorry. All we have is like a queen suite. And like, I get my phone charged. I'm able to call my mom. I'm like, I'm so sorry, mom. This, like, can I get this? Like, this is a situation. I don't know what to do. And she's like, I need you to be safe. So, yes, get it. And so I get the hotel, which, I mean, it's crazy to think that just in 2019, I think it's a two night, I think it was a two night stay, was like, in Covent Garden, was like, I think it was like £160, which, like, unheard of nowadays. Anytime I look into a hotel traveling, I'm like, I can't do this. I don't travel because of the accommodation I'm staying. But anyway, I get in and I just break down crying. And it all hit me. I go, I'm in London. I'm also living in Rome. I have no friends. I have no family here. I have no connections. I am all alone. This was the first time I've ever flown alone. This is the first time I have a passport. Everything hit me. And then it hits me that I have not eaten a single thing in 48 hours. And so I was like, I guess I might as well go. So I'm just walking the streets, West End, everything feels great. And I'm like, you know, this is okay. I'm still really shaken up and just confused and everything and dazed, but starving. And everything, at the time, I guess, like, looking back now, I get it, but it was everyone just got off of work. And so everywhere is crowded. And I'm just like, I don't want to be around people. I smell, I feel gross, I look gross. I have to wear like 15,000 layers because traveling on the planes here, you can, I lived out of a book bag for weekends. And I find this one pub, go upstairs, it's empty, and I start journaling. I'm writing how I'm feeling. I get food, start chatting with the bartender and the waiter and the staff, and they were just so lovely. And then a table comes in, a family comes into a table, and they're just having a good time. They're laughing, and I'm just like, this just seems so wholesome and nice. And I start kind of relaxing, and the biggest thing was getting used to eating alone, which now I have no problem with, but back then it was a huge anxiety of mine. It was like, I would rather starve for days than have to eat alone. But I was like, I'm in a new country, it's a new me. We're growing, we'll eat alone. And so I did. And then the family and I start talking, and it was the dad's birthday, and some people live in Scotland, some people live in Ireland, and the kids were there, and they were just so wholesome that they let me join their family table, like they're just dinnering. Because I was like, oh, I'm here alone, like doing this. And they're like, come join us. And it was just the kindest from strangers I've ever in my life experienced. And I was like, wow, this is great. And they told me, they joked about, they're like, and I was like telling, and they gave me a whole bunch of recommendations, and I'm telling like them about my day. And the mom's just like, you need to get yourself a bottle of wine, walk the streets, drink a bottle of wine. And I was like, no, I can't, like I'm gonna get caught. And that's when I learned there's an open liquor policy. And I knew right then and there, I love London. No, I'm kidding. But that's a big perk. And so yeah, I go leave dinner, thank them, wish them all the best. Go get a bottle of wine, go back to my hotel, and I just crash. And then I spent the next day. I didn't research, and I didn't know anything. I didn't know who to ask or anything for public transportation. So I literally just walked everywhere. I burned literally the soles of my shoes to the ground everywhere. And it just started feeling right. It just felt right. It felt like me, it felt like home. I could see myself in the people I was passing by. I can see myself working here, living there. I can see myself raising kids here. I was like, this is it. And I never wanted to go back to Rome. And eventually I did have a special place. Italy as a whole has a special place in my heart. Anytime I'm having a really rough time, break down anything, if you catch me in Rome, just know I'm not doing well. I'm trying to sort myself out. If I'm in Italy, any of it, not just Rome, all of Italy. And but yeah, so I would go back to Rome. I'd travel different places on the weekend, but I always found myself being like, I need to go back to London. I need to go back. And by the end of the trip, I kind of did my own research and I was like, I still need my degree, never graduated officially. Why not get my degree in London? Why not? And it was my, and I found some schools, and I partied so much in Milwaukee, and my mental health declined so much in the last year that I was just so depressed that I couldn't do anything, that my GPA was so low that I was not getting accepted into anything. And then there's one school, London Metropolitan University, that would let me in. And I did get a tour of the school on my last leg of au pairing before I left, and I was like, you know, this is my dream Hogwarts university. Never seen Harry Potter, but I can just imagine the dark academia. So this isn't my Oxford, this is my Cambridge, but I go, it brings me here, and that's all that matters. And after the interview, or after the whole tour of the school, I remember I was walking through Hyde Park and I was calling my mom, and I was like, Mom, don't like that school, but it accepts me and it has a program that I like, because still at the time I was doing fashion. And then I found media and PR, which I was like, PR, that is me. I am PR. PR and London are my personalities. And I just remember talking to her about it, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do fashion. I know I was still dabbling in music, I was still doing film, and I was like, I can. It's so accessible here too, and I just don't know what to do. And I'm walking through Hyde Park and I'm crying and I'm kind of contemplating. I'm like, Mom, I don't want to go home. I don't want to leave here. Like, this is my place. I don't know how to get here. Like, there's still the chance that they won't accept me. Like, it's looking good, but what if? What if? And she's just like, Alex, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And I'm just walking around blindly. And what do I see right in front of me? The Peter Pan statue. And in that moment, I was like, I am gonna be okay. I'm gonna be here. And then all I really wanted was a nice pie. I was like, gotta get the cuisine while I'm here. Not great, but it's something. And I found a pub, had a pint, went home, went back, or not home, but back to the hotel. And I was like, I'm gonna move to London in a year. I know it. I have to. And it's crazy because I actually went on a first date with a guy a couple months ago, and I didn't even know we were near Hyde Park or the pub or anything. And him and I went to another pub, and then we started walking around. And I was like, "Yeah, I don't know this area. Like, I don't think I've ever been here. Like a liar." I didn't know I was lying at the time, but I was just like, "This none of this looks familiar. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, we're just walking around aimlessly." And then we get to a street, and I go, "Oh, I know this street." And we continued our date at that pub, which was really great. Anywho, but yeah, that was why London, I guess, in a whole. And then yeah, I went back home, stayed there for a while. I started, because I really wanted to get into music here as well. So I started a blog, which I eventually turned into a magazine once out here. Started talking to people, musicians, and different creators, and interviewed them. And then the lovely pandemic hit, and things got put on hold. But I worked three jobs in that time being, while also trying to manage an artist out in Chicago, while also doing these interviews. And yeah, I worked at a daycare, and then I worked retail, and then I was assistant manager at a pottery painting place just to save up. And I had my eyes on the target, and I was like, I am miserable doing these, but like, it's gonna be worth it when I'm in London. I do wish I can remember the process of everything, but I was so blinded. All I know is that it cost so much money, and I was so blind. Like, I was just like, get me through this process. I know you have to apply for the visa, you have to apply for your school, but then you have to get the visa, and you have to get your CAS number, and then You have to write like a personal statement to the school, and I remember getting rejected from that personal statement like 4 times because they're like, it just doesn't seem personal enough. So I'm like, what? I'm literally selling my soul to you right now. And I was just like, there's no other reason. And then there was an opportunity that I could have gone to LA for like a 6-week program instead. And at the time, my dad's health was really kind of not looking the best and declining. So it was kind of like, do I stay here? Do I leave? And I was really torn, and I knew what I needed to do, but I knew what I wanted to do was stay for him. And the hardest conversation I think I ever had to have in my entire life and will possibly still ever have was sitting down with my dad and just asking him, Dad, I'm at a crossroads right now. I can go to LA or I for 6 weeks, or I can go to London for 3 years and possibly more. But I need your blessing for which one. And he just goes, well, which one do you want? And again, I'm paraphrasing his conversations because get his conversations and voice and ability to talk was really diminished and hard. And I was just like, I want to go to London. And he goes, you need to go to London. You need to go. And I was like, but why? And he's like, you're gonna do great things there. You have to go. And I was like, but Dad, I need you to promise me, because his memory was really bad. Like, there were days that he'd wake up and he didn't even know who my mom was. God forbid it was like super, super sweet that sometimes he'd forget who she was and he would just start hitting on her and be like, you're really pretty. My mom would be like, you don't know who I am. He's like, no, but do you want to make out? And it's so cute, but it's so sad. But I had asked him, I was like, Dad, I need you to promise me that you'll remember me when I'm gone. And I need you to promise me that you'll be there for my graduation. Unfortunately, my first summer here, he did pass, which that'll be a whole other podcast episode as well. But there is one thing that that man did, is that he promised me he would remember me to his dying day. And he did. I'll leave it at that. But yeah, with his permission and with a half-assed dream of just needing to be in London because of American National Movie, I ended up moving here. And I lived in Crouch End, my first place. And then I moved to Kentish Town, which was my favorite. I lived on a one-bedroom apartment there. And the only way I could afford it was because of student loans, really. And I love Kentish Town. And then I moved to Kilburn and I met one of my best friends. She was a complete stranger. She's one of my best friends now and I love her to pieces. But I also had the worst experience with our other flatmate, which that's a whole other conversation. So it was the worst times and it was the best of times. And that year made me really start thinking about my future in London. And then I moved out and now I live in Highgate. I say that very cautiously. But, and I'm starting to find that love for London again because I definitely lost it over the year. And right now I'm trying to find a full-time job, hopefully one that will sponsor me, which would be great. And yeah, I graduated in June. I'm now on a graduate visa, which is a whole other process because you also have to get a biometrics card and a reading and all this. And again, before you move to London, you need to know the only thing about it is that it's expensive. If you want to survive here, you either need to be born with money, have enough money to enjoy it, you just need money. And not to say if you don't have money, you don't enjoy it. But it's not its full capacity, what it is. So it's hard. Because I have a job, I get by. But then you see on TikTok, they're like, what's your favorite restaurant? And then they list off this like elaborate, beautiful, super expensive place. And you're just like, that's not the London I live. But I'm learning to have the London I. The life in London I live is for me, and it's not the dream. It's not the picture of London. I love being able to walk to Hampstead Heath and just go for a walk and listen to my music and clear my thoughts, or grab a coffee and just walk everywhere. The museums are free, which is great, and if you have the time to be able to go and do that. And yeah, and it's just, I really have to say, it's not all that it cracks out to be in the movies, but I found a way that it's even more. I've grown, I've changed, I've met some amazing, incredible people here, but I've also met like the shittiest scum on earth people here. And I've had ups, I've had a lot of downs, but I used to tell people, like when they asked me why London, I'd be like, honestly, I don't know. Every time I came here, it was a series of unfortunate events. Things would happen. Ugh, I don't even know. But I was just like, any person in their right mind would be like, oh, the city's just not for me. It's just too hard. There's tubes, there's always strikes in the tubes. Buses are crowded and they're never reliable, and it's so expensive. You walk outside and it costs you £5 just to breathe. But I was like, there is no place on earth I can imagine myself wanting to have a bad day but London. And I think that says enough. I think that says all there needs to be is I would rather have a bad day in London than anywhere else. And I'm so thankful every day to be here, even though I sometimes know I take it for granted. And yeah, I got 2 years on my graduate visa, so 2025 is actually when it ends. And from there, it's either I gotta get married, I gotta be making money in the film industry or the music industry, or hopefully off those podcasts or something, entertainment, or I have to be sponsored. I'm hoping for the marriage one, you know? That'd be really fun. I think that'd be nice. I think it'd be so much fun. But again, the song is not your Taylor Swift London Boy-esque. Let me tell you, the London Boys, I don't know how she created that song. And I don't know what London boy she's meeting. I know Joel Alwyn, but I personally don't know him, so I'm just going off the ones that I know. She got lucky. I'm gonna tell you this right now. She got lucky. It's brutal out here in the streets. But that's London as a whole. And I guess I kind of got into the rant a little bit about the TikTokers, but I don't know why, especially this summer. I noticed this like huge, just trend. Everything on my TikTok page would be like, move to London, moving to London, come move to London with me. I'm an American living in London. I'm visited in this. And they all live in like Soho or really expensive, fancy places. And they're like, yeah, I work like freelance or part time. And it's like, where's the money coming from, Pipes? Because I can barely afford to get to work some days, because that's like 6 pounds every single day. What do you mean? And I feel like it was just this thing that like one person's like, it's so easy to live here because it's so, you just go to the pub every day and then you go to your favorite restaurants and then you hang out with your friends and you go to the park. And it's like, yeah, those are great parts of life, but that's not the reality of it. That's not the reality. And I feel like if you're gonna move to London, unless you're like insanely rich and you have your parents' backpack like just supporting you and you don't have to worry about a thing, yeah, it's gonna be great for you. But if you re realistically wanna move to London, it's gonna be hard work and it's gonna be a lot of money and you're gonna be lost and you're gonna have to fight like hell for your place here. And that's the reality of it. And that taxi driver, my first day here, he was the sweetest person, but it's not everyone. I've had some really shit taxi drivers, and I've had some really shit Uber drivers and Bolt drivers, and I've met some shitty people at the bars. I've been sexualized to no extent as being an American. I don't even I'm, when I'm on dating apps, I don't even put that I'm American. I'm scared to tell them I'm American. Because the second they hear American, I blame the movie Love Actually for it, because that guy that was like obsessed with Americans and like he's like, they're so crazy, you know? And because I've been in the situation where I've hooked up with a guy in the middle of hooking up, he was like, show me how crazy you are, you American. And I was like, that one was weird, but we'll look past it. I'm gonna turn a blind eye to that one. That was weird. This isn't the great greatest situation I'm in, but okay. And then afterwards, he high-fived me and thanked me for not like checking off something on his bucket list to hook up with an American. And that was it. That was it. I've been told I'm dumb. I've been told I'm crazy. I've been told that I'm loud. I've been told that I should be obese and I should be fat and I should be uncultured and I should be uneducated. And they're surprised that I can read. They're surprised that I can write. I've been mocked for my accent. And there's people here that are just really nasty about it or think it's funny. And it's not. But I've also met people that really just embrace, they love that I'm American, they think it's cool, and they want to know about what it's like back home or things that I do and eat, and they're fascinated by how expanse, like, just how much land there is in America and like the driving and just what's there. And I'm equally just excited to be like, what about your life? What about where you grew up? What was like in the village? Like, you have villages, you don't have like cul-de-sacs and suburbs and whatnot. And you do your like family roast on Sunday, and what's that like? And I've only been to family roast, like a dinner, a roast dinner at a pub, which is just like not the full experience. And it's like you really get to embrace this difference, but then you also find some like commonalities. And like, I can talk to my friends about, that are British out here, about like different TV shows that we both watched growing up and like cartoons and stuff, and it's really cool to see the difference and the similarities. But you also get the downside of people just being so bashingly hurtful to just because I'm American. Which, it was funny, the other day at work, I work retail, and this older man came up and he goes, "Huh, that's a little different accent you got there." And I go, "Yeah." I go, "I'm from America. I'm from Chicago." And he's like, "Oh, lovely, Windy City." And I was like, "Yeah." I go, "Yeah, but I've been here for about 3 years, so I'm trying to do." I was like, "The accent hasn't left." He's like, "Oh, no, it hasn't. But are you full English now?" And I go, "Well, I'm trying to be." I go, "I'm on my graduate visa, so I got a couple of a year." And just 2 years, or year, 2 years, whatever it is, I'm trying to go full Brit, you know? And he was just like, "Nice, good. Like, good luck." And then the conversation kind of dies down, and I was like, "I do really love it here. I'm really trying to stay." And he goes, "Right on." He goes, "Best of luck with it all." And as he walks away, he just goes, "Go England." And I was like, "Okay." Alrighty. And I was like, but that was just a sweet encounter, man, that it kind of gave me a little hope and inspiration that, you know, as much as they don't really want with Brexit and they don't want immigrants here, or I don't know much about Brexit, but I think the gist of it, I guess. And the fact that they want to raise the salary to, not only do you have to get sponsored by a company and pay for a visa, but you also need to make 40,000, which is senior role. Which is, I can't do that in 2 years. So it's like, where does my future lie with London? I don't know. But I'm now just kind of, I'm applying to jobs all over the world. I love Ireland, so I apply for Belfast, I apply for Dublin, I apply for New York even, I've applied for Germany, I think I've applied to a couple in Dubai. That was by accident. I'm not settling myself to just London, and I'm just gonna let it see if it will take me in with open arms like it once did. And I know I said I'd talk about the process of getting here and staying here, which I touched on a little bit, but that's kind of it. Like, you just need to have money and fill out forms, and then you're okay. That's it. It's just filling out forms and having a lot of money. That's all they want. So anyone that does want to move to London, think about that first. Think about your savings. Like, I know there was a big thing that they needed to make sure that my mom had enough money in her bank account for me to move here. Because there is a rule that when you're on a student visa, you can only work 20 hours a week. And if you do, then your visa it's jeopardized. So the whole point of that is they want you to just be wealthy enough to just go to school here. That's it. Someone else has to bankroll your life. That's it. So now I'm in crippling debt because of that. Thanks a lot, London. Thanks a lot. But that's London as a whole. There's great things about it, but there's also bad things about it. But there's also okay things about it, and there's good people, and there's really fucking shit, awful people. But you find your mix, and you find your life, and you find your speed. And right now, I'm at the point in my life where I'm just kind of. I'm very to myself. I went so hardcore the first 2 years. I think I would go to a gig every single night. Sometimes I go to 2 gigs a night. Sometimes I go to 3 gigs a night. I'd be at a pub every single night. I go to the pub on the weekends. But now I found this peace in slowing down. I like my walks to Hampstead Heath. I like not being having to spend money in a day. I like just walking around to a farmer's market when it's nice out. I do like just going to a coffee shop, pounding out some work, going home, making some dinner. I love beans on toast, and I love a good English breakfast tea, and I love a good English breakfast. And I went full Brit because now I crave salt and vinegar crisps like there's no tomorrow. I was telling my friend the other day where I was like, I know I'm not, I know I'm not, I know I'm not, but there's a part of me that because I crave salt and vinegar crisp so much, I started worrying if I was pregnant. Because I crave them so much now. I'm not, guys, I'm not. But I love salt and vinegar crisps. They're my favorite. And it's crazy, I went back to America for Christmas and I'm eating, we went to a restaurant and I was like, oh my God, this is so much food. And I was like, I've gone full Brit here. And I was like, I can't, we can't, I was like, we have appetizers, and then we have a starter, and then we have a soup, and then we have a salad, and then we have the main course. Oh, I got a martini, and the martini glass would be like 3 cocktails in London. I was like, this is so much. But we'll see. We'll see where the future goes. We'll see where this podcast takes us. We'll see all of it. And again, if thank you for listening. Check out our socials, TikTok, Instagram, Taking the Punches Podcast. Follow us on Spotify. Follow us wherever podcast you're wherever you're listening to this. And keep updated. Keep calm, keep calm, keep calm, carry on. And again, just thank you so much for listening. And have a good rest of your week. Bye.